Hello and welcome to our site as we continue in our series Back to the Bible. We're in the book of Joshua in the Old Testament, the sixth book in the Old Testament, so hope you have a Bible handy, and if you do, please turn with me to Joshua chapter 5. We take a reading to begin with. Our subject this morning, Overcoming Your Jericho. Last Sunday morning we looked at Crossing Your Jordan. This morning, Overcoming Your Jericho. And we read this amazing story in Joshua chapter 5 and reading from verse 13. Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied, "but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times, with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have all the people give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse, and the people will go up, every man straight in." Then if you'll just move across to Joshua chapter 6 and verse 15. On the 7th day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except that on that day they circled the city 7 times. The 7th time around, when the priests sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. The city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall be spared, because she hid the spies we sent. But keep away from the devoted things, so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. All the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go to his treasury." When the trumpet sounded, the people shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the people gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So every man charged straight in, and they took the city. Let's bow for just a moment of prayer. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the inspiration of Holy Scripture. And we pray now that as we open up your word together, you would speak to our hearts and grant us your blessing, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our subject then, Overcoming Your Jericho. Overcoming your Jericho. Listen to these wonderful promises that God gives to Joshua. I believe God would give these promises to you today and to me if we are fully devoted to the Lord. "I will give you every place where you set your foot. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. You will be prosperous and successful, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Such were the promises that God gave to Joshua. Wonderful promises that we believe have an application to the follower of Jesus, who is wholly committed to the will of God. The Christian, who is determined to live not in a spiritual wilderness of frustration and failure, but in the Canaan of God's fullness, abiding in Christ and being controlled by the Holy Spirit, living in trustful obedience to the Lord. The promises were to be received by faith and acted upon in obedience. That is so important for us to grasp. God's promises are to be received by faith and acted upon in obedience. They were coupled with these injunctions. Joshua 1, 6 and 7, be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all my commands. Verse 8, meditate day and night in the law, and be careful to do everything written in it. Verse 9, do not be terrified, do not be discouraged. Now it is an inflexible rule, dear friend, an inflexible rule in the life of the believer in Jesus, that our faith and obedience be proved and refined by being put to the test. James says in his letter in the New Testament, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. The Apostle Peter says in his first letter, you suffer grief in all kinds of trials as followers of Jesus, so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Do not be surprised at the fiery trial that comes upon you. The Christian, the Christ follower, who comes through a spiritual wilderness into the land of full salvation, under the Lordship of Jesus, experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit of God and his gracious working in his life, to his amazement discovers that immediately after he has, as it were, crossed the Jordan, as we saw last Sunday, Jericho confronts him. Do you know the story? How often Christian people have been baffled by this experience. No sooner had the Israelites crossed the Jordan to enjoy the good land the Lord their God had given them, the land flowing with milk and honey, that they came face to face with Jericho, a city that had seemingly impregnable walls, a city with gates that were barred and guarded, a city where an enemy king and his fighting men were in charge, a city that seemed impossible to take by human force alone. Are you familiar with Jericho? You claimed your place with Christ as a believer. You claimed your place as one in Christ who shares the triumph of Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension, raised up with Christ, made to sit with him in heavenly places. You committed your life to Jesus and reckoned yourself dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God in Christ Jesus. You determined to follow the Lord wholeheartedly, thinking it would be one glory story, perhaps. But you were bewildered to discover that right in the middle of your pathway to progress lay your Jericho. Oh yes, my friends, when we cross our Jordan to possess the land for God, to enter into the fullness of God's blessing, to possess all our possessions that are our birthright in Jesus, a life of abiding in Christ and He in us, a life of fruitfulness, a life of power and of seeing the hand of God mightily at work. As soon as we set upon this pilgrimage, as followers of Jesus, our faith and obedience are tested by the Jericho that rises up before us. The enemy who bound us in Egypt and attacked us in the wilderness now resists every step of progress in Canaan as we follow the Lord Jesus obediently. Now to some, Jericho is a force within their own personality and character. Most of us know our Jericho only too well. It is that thing in our lives that we cannot conquer on our own. It's that thing in our lives that hinders all our progress in being what God wants us to be and in doing what God wants us to do and saying what God wants us to say, going where God wants us to go. How many a Christian has been kept off the mission field or out of the ministry, perhaps, by their Jericho? It may be our pride. It may be our ambition. It may be our temper. It may be our unforgiving spirit. It may be our love for money. It may be our ungodly lusts, our fleshly desires. But whatever it is, it's like fighting a walled city controlled by an enemy king. Most of us know our weak spot only too well, if we're honest. It may be something we learned in childhood and yielded to in adolescence, and in its various guises, it conquers us still today. It's a Jericho within, against which we have to constantly be on our guard. It may be that for some the Jericho in your life is something outside of yourself, perhaps an impossible situation in your family or your home life, perhaps something in your work life, perhaps a pleasure or a relationship that drags you out of the will of God for your life, holding you back from being the man or the woman God wants you to be, keeping you from being the young person or the young adult that is wholly committed to Jesus. That's your Jericho. Time and time again you've asked yourself, how in the world are these walls of my passion or addiction or whatever it may be, how are these walls ever going to come tumbling down? Do I have to live my life in this defeated state where I'm facing an enemy that is going to conquer me time and time again? How will I ever gain victory over this enemy stronghold? Well, make no mistake, my brother, my sister, my friend, as the strongest fortress of Canaan, the conquest of Jericho was key to the possession of the whole land. And you know in your heart of hearts that your personal Jericho keeps you from possessing and occupying and enjoying all that God has promised and planned for your life. So let's study the scenario carefully and see how Jericho is conquered. And look at chapter 6, verses 2 to 5 and verse 20. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I've delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times, with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have all the people give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse, and the people will go up, every man straight in." When the trumpets sounded, the people shouted. And at the sound of the trumpet, when the people gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So every man charged straight in and took the city. Oh, so that's how Jericho's conquered. That's a novel way of conquering an enemy stronghold, isn't it? What a strange spectacle it must have been for the inhabitants of Jericho to see the armed men, followed by the 7 priests blowing their shofars, followed by the ark of the Lord, followed by the rear guard, circling the city and then returning to camp to spend the night there. End of day 1. Then comes day 2. Lo and behold, they do exactly the same thing. Same procedure on day 3 and day 4, day 5. This is getting a bit much, isn't it? Can you handle it? John Calvin, in his commentary, comments, as a military maneuver, it was worse than useless. It was ridiculous. It actually invited attack, but it terrified them instead. Was there mocking and taunting at first from the guards and the soldiers on the wall? Or was it only dread that struck their hearts as they looked at the ark of God that had crossed the Jordan on dry ground, and the army that walked so silently around the walls day after day? Day 6, the same march around, and then came day 7, and round they went again and again and again, once, twice, 3 times, 4 times, lunchtime, 5, 6, 7. And at the command of Joshua, the trumpets were blown, and the people shouted with a great shout. The wall collapsed, so every man charged straight in, and they took the city. In modern terms, Jericho was captured without a shot being fired. How was Jericho overcome? The writer of the letter to the Hebrews in the New Testament gives us the answer: by faith, by faith, by faith in the God who keeps his promise. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down, he says. In Hebrews 11 and verse 30, the Israelites did not have the wherewithal to break down the walls that the enemy had built. The victory was won by faith, by a total dependence upon God. 13 times round they went until they realized that unless God did it, it couldn't be done. You see, friend, God's way in the Christian life is to put no confidence in our own ability, in what the Bible calls the flesh, the Adamic nature that we were all born with, our self-sufficiency. The arm of the flesh will fail you, says the hymn writer. You dare not trust your own. My ability, my wisdom, my strength is no match for my Jericho. Don't I know it? And don't you know it too? I often speak to people, young people, men, women, who recognize that they cannot conquer their Jericho in their own strength. The sooner we learn that, the better. Why did they have to walk 13 times around the stronghold in silence? Was it Jericho's unlucky number? Dr. Alan Redpath suggests, and I quote, "Because it took that long for every one of them to realize that it was utterly impossible for them to capture Jericho if God were not with them. 13 big, long looks at the enemy, until they became convinced that they were no match for those behind the walls. God made the Israelites walk around that great fortification until within themselves they died to every hope of conquest unless God should intervene." Have you been there, dear friend? Have you come to that place before? Is there a counterpart in your experience? There certainly was in mine many years ago. You've come so far, and yet there's still this Jericho in your life, this thing that haunts you and taunts you and mocks you, humiliates you, belittles you, defeats you. Is that where you are this morning? The hardest thing for the Christian to do is come to terms with the fact that his Jericho is too big for him, too big for her, that the power of the enemy is too great. And if Jericho is to fall, somehow God must bring it about. Before God entrusts any of his people with a real measure of spiritual power, victory, and blessing, he brings us to a place of despair over our own Jericho. Is it our pride? Is it a spirit of bitterness or unforgiveness? It is our lust for money or pleasure, or our lust for the opposite sex, or even the same sex, or whatever it might be. It's not won by trying, dear friend. It's won by trusting. When the truth dawns upon us that it's not what I can achieve, but what I can receive from God as a gracious gift. When we cease striving and take the victory from God in Christ by faith, we come to the end of ourselves and our own resources, and we cast ourselves utterly upon the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Apostle Paul did. And then he was able to say, "Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." The victory in the Christian life was won, just as it was in Joshua's situation, by listening to God, by receiving and obeying his word, no matter how costly or foolish it seemed, and taking what he himself promised by faith. In the story, we see the test of faith. 13 times round they went in silence, as their faith was tested. God's delays are not God's denials. We see the weakness of the flesh, but we learn, like the Apostle Paul, to glory in our weakness so that the excellency of the power may be seen to be God's. We see the obedience of faith. Faith is only faith when it is faith in action. The hymn writer put it this way, standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God. Jericho is the story of the triumph of faith. In the moment ordained by God, the walls collapsed and Israel conquered. Jericho is overcome when we are overcome by God. When, like the Apostle Paul, we consider all our own resources and achievements as dung, as at a loss compared to the surpassing worth of the Lordship of Christ in our lives, and the triumphant power of his resurrection at work within us. Jericho is overcome when we listen to the word of God, which reminds us that our weapons are not worldly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of enemy strongholds. They are the weapons of the omnipotent God himself, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit of God, invading our lives, giving us victory over the enemy that we battled with for so long. Our methods of faith and obedience may look foolish in the eyes of the world, but they lock us into resources that are supernatural, and that's the secret of our victory as Christians. Our silent march may seem very stupid, but when the battle is the Lord's and the victory is assured, we can afford the luxury of a quiet stroll around Jericho. We're not intimidated when we're in Christ. We can do all things through Christ who gives us the strength, Philippians 4:13. You see, when we're weak, then we're strong. Or have you never linked your weakness to the omnipotence of God? Have you never walked around your Jericho beside the Ark of the Covenant of God? The God who keeps his promises, the God who says the victory is yours when you are fully yielded and obey. You can't win over Jericho, but if you'll align yourself to the will of God for your life, he'll deliver Jericho into your hands. Do you see it? Our Jericho's conquered God's way or not at all, and God's way is to hear his word on the matter, and when you've heard the word of God, then take the step of faith. By faith you appropriate what is promised, and then you act upon that word by obeying what God says. Then the battle becomes the Lord's. God himself steps into the arena of your Jericho, dear friend, and enables you to defeat its enemy king and its fighting men. Let the Bible be its own illustrator. Do you remember the story of Hezekiah, king of Judah? Years after this Jericho incident, in fact many centuries later, King Hezekiah discovered the same truth when his Jerusalem was threatened by an enemy king, Sennacherib, the king of Assyria. His military leaders with a word from God that was reminiscent of God's word to Joshua centuries before. He said, and I quote, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria and the vast army with him, for there is a greater power within us than with him. With him is only the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us fight our battles." 2 Chronicles 32, verses 7 and 8. Never forget it. And you remember the situation that was confronted when Elisha, and the king of Aram was at war with Israel, and after conferring with his officers, he said, "I'll set up my camp in such and such a place." The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, "Beware of passing that place, because the Arameans are going down there." So the king of Israel checked on that place and indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, "Will you not tell me which of us is on the side of the king of Israel?" "None of us, my lord the king," said one of his officers. But Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. "Go and find out where he is," the king ordered, "so that I can send men and capture him." And the report came back, "He's in Dothan." Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. And in 2 Kings in chapter 6 and verse 15 we read, "When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh, my Lord," he said to Elisha, "what shall we do?" "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha the prophet prayed, "O Lord, open his eyes so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. You see, the battle belongs to the Lord. And when we commit ourselves in faith and obedience fully to the Lord Jesus Christ, God himself takes responsibility for the battle, and he gives us victory. The victory belongs to the Lord. To the New Testament Christians facing their Jerichos, the Apostle John says, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome the enemies, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." Ephesians 3:20, the Apostle Paul prays for the early believers in the city of Ephesus, prays that they may be strengthened with all might by the power of the Holy Spirit in their innermost being, and that they may know all the fullness of God, the God who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or even imagine, by his mighty power that is at work within us. The power of God at work within us. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hand, along with its king and its fighting men." Friends, when we align our lives with the will of God, we take our Jerichos by faith. God himself steps in when we are fully yielded to Jesus, our Yeshua, our Joshua. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul says, "Put on the full armor of God, my friend. Use the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and your Jericho will fall." God says it, we must believe it and act upon it, and that will settle it. I want to close then by just leaving you with 6 lessons that we can learn from the book of Joshua as we have studied these 2 passages of crossing the Jordan and overcoming our Jericho. Lesson number 1 that we take home today: God takes us to the place where only he can do what he asks us to do. Have you learned that? God takes us to the place in our experience as followers of Jesus where only he can do what he asks us to do, taking us across our Red Sea, taking us across our Jordan, conquering our Jericho. And secondly, he nudges us to the place where faith has to take over from sight and sense. Have you learned that as a believer in Jesus? God nudges us to the place where faith has to take over from sight and sense. Lesson number 3. God expects us to obey his instructions whether they make sense or not. God's will often defy reason and logic. Have you learned that? As it was in the case of Lazarus, when he was desperately ill on the point of death and Jesus got the message, and he stayed where he was another few days. Why? Because he was hearing from his father, and he knew that what his father was asking him to do, continuing to minister where he was for another few days before going, making the journey to Lazarus. Jesus knew that even though that would seem to defy human reason and logic, he needed to listen to his father. God expects us to obey his instructions, whether they make sense or not. Have you learned that? Lesson number 4 to take home from these passages in Joshua. God tells you just enough for you to know what to do next. God tells you just enough for you to know what to do next. He'll show you the next step when you've taken the first one, dear friend. And then lesson number 5, every step of faith and obedience will be tested. The victory of your Jericho will be followed by the next test, presented in the next chapter as they sought to conquer the test of the town of Ai. Every step of faith and obedience in the Christian life will be tested. And then lastly, number 6, here's a lesson to take home. The currency of the kingdom of God is faith. That's what we learn supremely here. The currency of the kingdom of God is faith. The character of the kingdom of God is holiness. You remember our reading from Joshua as we looked at chapter 5, verse 13, when Joshua was near Jericho. He looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied, "but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." And Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Friend, the currency of the kingdom of God is faith, and the character of the kingdom of God is holiness. There is no power for victory unless there is a willingness for purity in the life. And so may the Lord bless you as you conquer. No, as by faith, God conquers for you your Jericho when you align your life wholly with the Lord Jesus and his will. Let's bow together in prayer. Our God and Father, we thank you for this timeless story of the conquest of Jericho, the seemingly impregnable, unassailable fortress. Thank you for showing us so clearly that in the Christian life we overcome our Jerichos by faith in your word and obedience to your will. And we thank you, Father, that you've taught us once again the battle belongs to the Lord when we are wholly yielded to Jesus and following him in trustful obedience. Thank you for the way in which you take us to the place where only you can do what you ask us to do. Thank you that you nudge us to the place where faith has to take over from sight and sense. Thank you that you expect us to obey your instructions, whether they make sense to us or not, for showing us that often your ways will defy reason and logic. Thank you, Lord, that you tell us just enough for us to know what to do next. Thank you that you show us the next step when we've taken the first one. And thank you that every step of faith and obedience is tested, so that our faith is tried as something more precious than gold to you. And we thank you, Lord, that the currency of the kingdom is faith, and that the character of the kingdom of God is holiness. So help us, Lord, from this moment on, in a brand new way, to walk in complete faith and wholehearted dedication to becoming more and more like Jesus, so that we can constantly see, as we overcome our Jerichos and Ais and whatever test you put before us, that the battle belongs to the Lord, and that we can say with the Apostle Paul, thanks be to God, who always leads us in the triumphal procession of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so now to him who is able to keep us from falling, and to present us blameless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and for evermore. Amen.
Yeah. side.